He scores! Gilmore scores! The ball, three left!
Off the glass, it left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Yell. Aguilla, rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Okay, welcome to another week. It is Monday, September 9th, and we welcome you to this Monday edition of Flames Talk from our Groundworks downtown studio. It's Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you on this Monday. Hopefully you had yourself a wonderful weekend. Let's get right into it. Hello, Wes. Another week with Wes.
Whew. Lucky you.
Only half a week. Vickers takes over midway through the week,
right,
from Penticton.
Yeah, the travel team. Off to the Young Stars Classic.
The travel team. Yes, Young Stars Classic kicks off this week. Friday is Calgary's first of three games at the South Okanagan Event Center in Penticton, BC. Looking forward to bringing you Flames Talk from out there. And lots to get to on this hour. But this hour of Flames Talk going to be dedicated again to John and Matthew Gaudreau, who were laid to rest on this Monday in a funeral service, joint funeral service just outside of Philadelphia. The two brothers laid to rest, eulogies performed by John's wife, Meredith, and Matthew's wife, Madeline. Hard to watch as funerals are. Wes, you watched live. I had an appointment. I wasn't able to move, so I just finished watching a little while ago as we get things going on this Monday afternoon. And just, you know, all funerals are difficult. Funerals are never something that you want to be a part of, but they are a part of the life journey, as we understand. So all funerals are hard to watch, but this one, the scope of the tragedy, the scope of the impact, all the different faces. It's funny, before I watched, I spoke to you on the phone and you kind of just talked about all the different faces, that attended, that you just, not only did you recognize, but you have relationships with, right? And so the combination of the unimaginable tragedy that we're still just coming to terms with, on top of all of the different faces that you knew and recognized and had some sort of relationship with, that combination was definitely staggering, no doubt.
Yeah, and when you know the faces, you can, I suppose, read the emotion on them better, right? To see Craig Conroy and to see Brad Treliving and see the emotion written on their face, to see, you know, and there were so many past or present Flames players in the crowd. Mark Giordano, Rasmus Anderson, Michael Backlund, mm-hmm. Elias Lindholm, Jacob Markstrom, Matthew Tkachuk, Sean Monahan, and Andrew Mangiapane were among the pallbearers. Like, you go up and down the list, and then you sort of catch glimpses, I suppose, of those gentlemen sitting there in a lot of cases with their better halves. And, you know, just the emotion was so easily read on their faces, and the impact that these losses have had and will continue to have on the hockey world is just so obvious in those moments, right? You know, one of the things that will be talked about a lot through the day and in the days and weeks to come is Meredith Gaudreau, Johnny's wife, who did an incredible job of eulogizing her husband, as Madeline Gaudreau did with Matthew. Meredith revealed today that they were expecting their third child. And, you know, as someone put to me, and I think it's such an accurate way to describe it, like, just when you thought this story couldn't get any more sad, just when you thought that this couldn't be any more tragic, you find out, you know, that Johnny and his wife were expecting a third.
Yeah.
And, you know, by all accounts, he was such a terrific father to the first two and would have been so proud to welcome a third. And so you just kind of continue to I suppose, layer the heartache on. And today, as funeral services always do, only hammered that home more.
And as we continue this hour, going to take some of your texts and I think as today kind of the, for a lot of people, it's kind of that closure piece. The funeral for a lot of people is kind of, not closure is the wrong word, but it's kind of that closing of the one chapter of the immediate grief and the immediate shock. The funeral happens sometime later and you can close one chapter and then it turns into the moving on stage. And I know for the immediate, the Gaudreau family, this is something that is going to take so long for them to work through. But I think for many, the funeral is cathartic and the stories and the being with people and all of that. It's kind of an opportunity for us to spend this hour and continue to reflect. The text line open at 960-960, whether you want to reflect on anything you heard, if you watched it on Monday, or just some of what you hear as we reflect on a few things, whether it be Johnny and the Gaudreau family's relationship with this city in Calgary, which is where we'll start, or anything else that has really impacted you over the last 10 days since this tragedy occurred in late August. Would love to hear from you, and we'll spend some time on the text line a little bit later on this hour at 960-960. But if you were unable to see it, you can go to sportsnet.ca. The eulogies from both Meredith and Madeline are there for you to watch. Meredith's a little more than 35 minutes when it was all said and done.
Not to interrupt, yeah. But if you can, and I understand the heart wrench that so many people are dealing with, if you feel like you can, I really encourage you to go watch both of those eulogies. I mean, talk about strength in the face of an unthinkable tragedy. I you know, as I wrote on social media, and I'll just repeat again here, you know, Johnny and Matthew would have been awfully proud of the way their wives honored and remembered them today. So if you can, I'd really encourage you. You'll need some tissues. It's going to be for emotional, sure. But absolutely worth taking the time to watch.
The relationship between this city and the Gaudreau family is something that we've spent a lot of time on over the last number of days. And it's something that I think is important to hear again. This was part of Meredith's eulogy to John and to Matt, and spent a good chunk of time specifically here on the city of Calgary.
To the city of Calgary and the Flames organization, I want to specifically thank you all for the outpouring love and support you have for John, myself, and our family. Thank you to the many of you that traveled this far to be here with us. It's your memories, videos, tributes, and kind words that I'm so tightly holding on to one day show our babies how truly special their daddy was and how loved he was. Thank you for that. Calgary, it's such a special place in John's heart and mine. I really am blown away by your kindness, but at the same time, I'm not surprised at all because I have been lucky enough to call Calgary my home with John. I got to experience firsthand what kind people you are. John was so kind because having lived there for about 10 years, he became a Calgarian as well. I still plan to one day show our kids the city of Calgary and where their daddy experienced some of the best times of his life, where he made lifelong friends, and where he called home for 10 years. Thank you for being our home away from home and for loving John so, so much. He's forever a Flame, and I'm so proud of that and so proud to call Calgary my home away from home as well.
And you wish that things didn't become like the relationship and the closeness and the appreciation for this city that the Gaudreau family has. You wish it didn't need to have a tragedy like this to make it so abundantly clear just how much appreciation and love there is from that side to Flames fans and to the Calgary hockey family, so on and so forth. But I will say, like, it is abundantly clear, whether it's what you heard from Meredith on Monday, whether it's the Instagram posts, and obviously it's been very abundantly clear the love that exists the other way around too. Again, you wish it didn't become so clear because of a tragedy, but that is one thing that has been very at the forefront since this all happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Calgary can be really proud of the way it has supported this grieving family, of the way it has shown its love for this grieving family. And listen, we talk all the time about sports is an escape in mm-hmm. so many ways for us from real life, right? And there's things that happen in sports that fans who are passionate about the game they're watching react to in certain ways. And nobody needs to feel guilty about being ticked off at Johnny Gaudreau's decision in the summer of 22 to go to Columbus. I know I've seen on social media, you know, I booed him when he came back, and I feel awful about that. I think Johnny Gaudreau, if anyone would sort of understand the sports part of it, it's absolutely him. But what this city has shown beyond any sort of doubt since we got the tragic news the Friday before last about the death of these two brothers is that, hey, yeah, sports is the escape, and sports is over here right now, but this city has your back. This city has the collective back of a family that is going through what Madeline Gaudreau described today as a nightmare that she keeps hoping to wake up from, right? This city has, whether it be through the candlelight vigil, whether it has been through the memorial at the steps of the Saddle, and whether it's just walking down Stephen Ave or going to the Labor Day Classic football game and seeing Gaudreau jerseys everywhere in the crowd, this city has shown so much love for a family that really needed it. And I think that's one of the things that years from now, when we reflect on the past 10 or 11 days, that's one of the things that I'm going to remember the most is the way Calgary reacted, that despite any hurt feelings, if that's the right way to put it, that might have lingered after his decision to sign in another city, as we've heard over and over, a family focused decision, that this city showed its true love for Johnny Gaudreau and the Gaudreau family.
Yep. And you know, there's only so much external things can do for grief that's like that acute and that fresh still. But I guarantee you that whether it's now or a year from now or 10 years from now, what has happened these last few weeks, what has happened since this has become a reality, I think will go a long way and will never be forgotten by an entire family, the sisters, the parents, the wives. I think it's something that the two wives will be able to proudly show their children going forward. Like, hey, tragically, there's four kids that aren't going to get to know their dads, but to show them that in 5, 10, 15, 20 years time. I mean, imagine that. Like, hey, this was, you know, I know that he was taken way too early, but look at this. And and so I think that's going to be a great sense of, I don't know. I just think it's going to be something that will really help in the healing process.
Sure.
Down the road, especially.
Yeah. And you know, I think too, not just what he meant to the city of Calgary, but what was really on display again today, whenever you saw a shot of the crowd at the church there in Media, Pennsylvania, was what he meant to the Flames family. Like, the number of former or current Calgary Flames that you could pick out of that crowd, whether it was, you know, front office or the communication staff or, you know, head equipment manager Mark DePasquale, whether it was you know, the Tanevs and the Giordanos and the Backlunds and the Andersons and the Mangiapane, like what he meant to the organization and what he meant inside that locker room, I think really shone through today as well.
Yeah. You know, one of the, for me, one of the hardest things or one of the things that has consistently got me to go from holding it together and being fine to like instantly pit in the stomach or instantly the eyes welling up. There's two things. Anytime I've seen a picture of Michael Backlund from Wednesday's Candlelight Vigil, or anytime I've seen the clip of Sean Monahan talking to the one podcast about joining the Blue Jackets, or I think it's Pete Blackburn's podcast that he was on, and also the video of Sean and Johnny embracing after Game 7 in 2022. Anytime those things have popped up on social media, instantly got me. Mm-hmm. Meredith went out of her way to thank Sean Monahan and Kevin Hayes, who were obviously both there at the funeral. And I'll play the clip in just a second, but again, that bond between John and Sean was very, very much in the spotlight here today as well.
Yeah, I'm sure you saw it on social media, but one of the, you know, heartbreaking images, and there's been a lot of them, was Sean Monahan at the Candlelight Vigil with his Blue Jackets teammates in Columbus, and he just looked inconsolable. And understandably so. I don't believe we've heard from Sean Monahan to date about, I don't think he's spoken publicly about Johnny. He was, you know, among those who carried the casket into the church today. And he's been one of those guys, absolutely, that this city has had in its sort of collective mind. And not surprisingly, one of two NHLers to be singled out by Meredith as part of that eulogy today.
Yep. And again, tough, heart-wrenching to listen to, but that bond between Sean and John was very, very, very clear once again.
Sean. John loved you so much. Such an effortless and genuine bond I was honored to be a part of. As one of a kind as John was, I think you are as close as it gets to being just like him. Whatever you did, he copied. If you got a new truck, we were in the truck lot the next day. You got a golden doodle, John got a golden doodle. If you were at the dog park, we were on our way. If you were leaving the party, John was grabbing me to leave also. I'm sorry to put you on the spot, and I'm sure John's cringing at me right now, too, but no, you made John the most excited for hockey that I've ever seen when you signed in Columbus, and I'm heartbroken for you that he cannot be with you on the ice, but I'm rooting for you every single night, and I know John is, too, as your special guardian angel now.
So those two have been attached at the hip ever for the better part of a decade now. Even before that, when if you've heard them talk, that bond kind of began at their first development camp with one another. And then obviously we're on the ice together the entire 14-15 season. And then for the better part of a decade in the NHL from that point forward. And even as Sean was traded to Montreal and Johnny left for Columbus, that bond didn't break. And no question, heartbreakingly so, that they were to be reunited this year for the next 5 years in Columbus. Funny enough, 5 years for Sean and 5 years remaining for John on that contract. And, you know, no doubt that is one of the things that has been really, really tough to accept throughout all of this.
Yeah, beyond the family, I think Sean Monahan sort of jets to the top of the list of people that you've been thinking about. Mm-hmm. At least I know for me. Yeah, just... No, that's the reason he's in Columbus for the next 5 years. And you know, I hope that the memories and all that can be healing for Sean, as opposed to, you know, I can't imagine how difficult it will be for him to go to the rink every day and just be constantly reminded of losing his best friend.
Yeah.
You know, anyone who's been through through loss, whether it's a friend or a family member, you know, there you reach a point where you're happy to be reminded, but it takes time, right? It for a while you want to go out of your way to, you know, not be reminded constantly, and I can't even imagine now this training camp and this season ahead with all the tributes we're going to see and all the well-deserved tributes. Like, I just can't imagine what it's going to be like for Sean Monahan now.
Yeah.
A season that we heard Meredith say Johnny was so excited about, a season that we heard Sean Monahan on that podcast that you referenced earlier talk about his excitement level for. I can't imagine how difficult the next handful of months going through an entire hockey season with what, you know, was supposed to be his reunion with Johnny. I just have trouble sort of imagining that for Sean.
The whole idea of it is still really hard to comprehend and put yourself in a guy like Sean's shoes. I just hope, and I know both the Blue Jackets and the Flames have made grief counseling available to their staff, their players, so on and so forth. You just you hope that if it's Sean or anybody else, and all of a sudden this becomes a lot to bear on the shoulders, which it might, and you'd only be human if so. You hope that is taken advantage of, because it can help, and sometimes that grief can be more to shoulder for just one human being. And if any teammate, staff members, friends, family, I hope that's being taken advantage of as well, because it can really be a helpful part of getting through someone like this. Just one final thing that we'll hear from Meredith Gaudreau. And again, if you weren't able to see her eulogy or Madeline Gaudreau's eulogy, available for you at sportsnet.ca and many other sources across the World Wide Web. One of the things that we've talked a lot about, whether it be personal reflections or you've heard from Brad Treliving or Craig Conroy with us or some of the texts, some of the things that people really remembered about Johnny while he was here, or just overall in his career, is just how he teammates have talked about how easygoing he was, and how just it was all about playing hockey, and it was all about just how authentic he was. And I thought that this little moment of levity from Meredith was pretty neat to hear as well.
Something else I love about John is how laid back he was about everything. Sometimes too laid back. Most of his pregame interviews, you can find him wearing my clothes, my slippers, my hat that had my family's dog embroidered on it, versus the nice clothes I would buy him specifically for the limelight. He couldn't care less. He would wake up early with the kids even on busy game days to help me. Some mornings I would try to get him to change before going to the rink for an interview because he was covered in spit up. But he would just say, "No, I like it there." He was proud of it, and off he went. There was one time he was rushing to get changed and came flying down the steps wearing one of my maternity sweatshirts. I begged him to change out of it, but he argued that it fit and looked fine. So then he started laying out his clothes every single night, no matter what was on the schedule the next day. He was so innocently sweet with everything he did. I was really busy one morning trying to get the babies and myself ready for an event, and John so nervously interrupted me to ask what I had picked out for him to wear as well. I'll miss this so much. All I ever wanted to do was take care of him and make him happy.
So there's just a few reflections from Monday's funeral service just outside of Philadelphia for Matt and John Gaudreau, who were laid to rest on this Monday. It's been an incredibly difficult time for so many, and an incredibly difficult time for Flames fans, Blue Jackets fans, hockey fans, sports fans, and then former teammates and friends, family members, immediate family. I mean, the visuals of Guy Gaudreau were Heart-wrenching doesn't really begin to explain it, because you can't imagine, but you can only imagine. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you, I know I can't truly imagine the pain and anguish and all of what is going on inside these people's hearts and brains and so on and so forth. But you can only imagine how bad it is. You know, like, you can kind of have an idea, yet you don't have an idea. That's kind of what it feels like right now, being on the outside, and yet still so affected by it, like so many of us are.
Yeah, and I guess to know that the world was watching their two sons be laid to rest today, you know, to know how, I can't even begin to imagine how many hundreds of thousands of hockey fans watched that funeral service via live stream today. And certainly that'll be a takeaway for so many, is just how heartbreaking it was, how truly gut-wrenching it was to see Guy and Jane and their two daughters, Kristen and Katie, you know, kind of, I suppose, holding each other up on the way out of the service. That's going to be one of those images that I think is going to stick with a lot of people for a long time.
Yep. Just wanted to also say kudos to former Stampeders linebacker Alex Singleton. That was pretty neat to see him sporting a number 13 Flames jersey on his way into Lumen Field in Seattle on Sunday. Singleton now with the Denver Broncos, what, second play from scrimmage?
It's pretty neat, wasn't it?
That was pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
So just wanted to also recognize that. I thought that was just pure class. And not to say that there have been plenty of other tributes from around the sporting world, from the Cleveland Cavaliers to the Philadelphia teams and the governor of New Jersey and so on and so forth. There have been so many tributes that have gone out there. I just thought it was so neat on Sunday, which was kind of the day of the wake, to see Alex Singleton walking into a road game wearing a Gaudreau jersey, and to see the Broncos put it out on Instagram and Twitter. And I just thought that was a really, really nice touch, and put a smile on your face, like one of those sad smiles on your face. But it was super neat to see. So I just wanted to quick tip of the hat to another guy who will always call Calgary one of his homes, and Alex Singleton, who's just an absolute dude. And that was really awesome to see.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I watched Friday's NFL game from Brazil.
Yeah.
And if you spent any time, you know, covering Johnny, or you know, if you read any of our coverage or listened to it about Johnny,
like,
you know, he absolutely loved the Eagles, and it sounds like Matthew might have been an even bigger Eagles fan, and so you were certainly thinking of those two when they pulled off the victory in Sao Paulo the other night. But to your point, the Alex Singleton tribute followed by interception, pretty neat moment.
Stampeders last couple of games have worn some Gaudreau jerseys into McMahon and Commonwealth Stadium, which has also been really awesome to see. So just continues to be one of those things that you definitely notice, and I know for me, won't forget for a long time, just to see the entire reaction from the sporting world to support a family that's grieving like they are.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we just played the clip, Meredith talking about Johnny wearing her maternity sweatshirts. And,
yeah.
You know, some of those, there were a lot of tears today, but, you know, whether it was that one or her talking about an incredulous Johnny finding out on social media that some guy named Michael Bublé or Michael Bubble, as he was calling him, was taking shots at him. Like, there, some of those stories help too, right? Like, we know Johnny Gaudreau as an athlete, and you know, to have some of the personality sort of revealed a little bit, and again, I know we keep repeating ourselves, you hate for it to be in tragic circumstances, but You heard Meredith tell some stories today. I have a long feature on the Post Media sites talking to some former teammates with some stories about both Johnny and Matthew Gaudreau that you probably haven't heard before. I hope that sharing some of those stories continues to shine a light on why these guys were considered such special people in the hockey world.
We are underway this hour. Flames Talk on this Monday is underway with Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. We are coming at you on this Monday from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's Pat and Wes on this Monday, and going to spend the rest of this hour just on the text line at 960-960. Some reflections from the last week and a half. It's been a heavy, difficult week and a half for so many of us. And on this Monday, Matt and John Gaudreau laid to rest at the funeral just outside of Philadelphia. Just read you some texts as we go through it. Get to as many as we can. It's Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you on this Monday. Sean in YYC says, seeing Mr. Gaudreau following his boys' caskets just floored me. So very sad. Prayers for this family. And, you know, look, death and family members being lost and all, like, it's hard for everybody. It's a universal thing when you lose a family member. And obviously when you pair the absolute utter shock of how this one happened, it just adds to it that much more. But, you know, families are close, and some families closer than others, so on and so forth. This one was such a tight-knit group, and that was the driving force of the every single member of that Gaudreau immediate family was that F-word family. So it feels like knowing that, I think seeing Guy and Jane and their faces and just thinking about them hit so many people right where it hurts. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and I think the other part of it, buddy, and I've said this as we've chatted about this over the past week and a half, and I'll just say it again. You know, Calgarians, and you and I included in this, I think we feel like we really got to know this family.
Yeah.
Guy Gaudreau was not a just another hockey dad in the sense of, you know, someone who you'd turn on the funeral and say, oh, that's what so-and-so's dad looks like, right? That this was a guy whose emotions Calgarians have been able to see for years, whether it was, you know, celebrating a goal or whether it was that moment with our friends Ryan Dietrich and
Brendan Parker
on the desk on Flames TV. Like, we've seen Guy and what his son's success has meant to him. We've seen what sort of bond this family has. You know, we've seen Guy sitting at morning skates as the players trickle onto the ice when, you know, all the other dads on the dad's trip maybe a little too hungover to make it there until the game. Like, we got to know this family, and so when you see them then following their son's caskets out of the church today, I think that just adds to it. This wasn't a stranger. At least it didn't feel like a stranger to a lot of people in Calgary, and that just makes the ache, I think, that much more real.
Steven the Self says, hey, boys, I never met Johnny, so I felt guilty this last week and a half, feeling sad like I have. Everything about it breaks my heart, and I want to thank you and the rest of your hosts for giving us something to help us deal with the sadness. Don't feel bad. I mean, I think that if you have parents, if you have kids, if you have siblings that have kids or whatever the case may be, I don't think you should feel bad about feeling bad, you know?
Yeah, no, that echoes what I've heard from buddies and colleagues. And, you know, I think a lot of people have maybe been more touched by this tragedy than they sort of anticipated they would be, just because they didn't personally know those involved. But absolutely not something to feel bad about. I'd only tell you that you have a few hundred thousand fellow Calgarians that are feeling the same way.
Yep. What else we got here? This is geez, heartbreak just keeps on getting worse. This says Singleton rocks a Canadian flag on the back of his helmet, born in California. Yeah, he's Alex Singleton's just such an awesome dude. Dylan in Red in Deer Run says,
I know this isn't Broncos talk, but he's a hell of a linebacker too. Yeah,
he's well, and as we know, played for Johnny's beloved Eagles. That was his first stop in the NFL before Denver. So it was pretty neat to see him pop that interception. I know the Broncos lost a tight one to Seattle, but that was really neat to see, and kind of felt like that was meant to be. It's like, good on you, Alex.
Yeah.
Dylan in Deer Run says, thanks for all the memories, 13. Long live Johnny Hockey. This from Ryan in Okotoks. The toughest thing I've been grappling with this last week or so is the guilt associated with how I remember Johnny's time here. I was one of the many Flames fans who booed him upon his return to Calgary, and I'm a little ashamed it's taken this event to make me truly remember what a special player he was. It's made me rethink how I'll see players on this team going forward, especially when they make decisions for the best of their family. That's from Ryan in Okotoks. But as you said a little earlier, that Johnny's a sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny's loved to play hockey, and I don't think the reaction really fazed him all that much, because he knew he was making the best decision for him and his family, and never forgot where he came from, never forgot how important this city was. I don't think you should, like, for you to be upset and hurt at the time was because he was, for so many Flames fans, he was one of yours, right? He was this guy who was drafted as an underdog story, who came up in the organization. Like, he was one of Calgary's, and for Flames fans, like, he was one of yours. And so when he did decide to leave, yeah, that hurts. And there's anger that comes with that, right? And so the feeling of being upset at that time, I don't think you should feel guilty about that. It's part of the journey, and it's part of the story.
Part of fandom.
And it's part of being a fan.
Yeah.
And I would never condone some of the very, very, very few who went way over the top. That's garbage, that's BS, and that always is. But for the vast, vast majority of Flames fans who were upset at the decision, it was an emotional reaction because you loved the player, you loved the guy, you loved the family. And so don't feel bad about that. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Gaudreau family understood it. Johnny 100% understood it. We saw him the two times through here. He was the same Johnny Gaudreau. He's like, maybe I'll get booed, maybe I won't get booed. Like, it really, truly didn't faze him, because he knew he was making this decision for the right reasons.
Yeah, and I think Johnny Gaudreau, and maybe this can provide some comfort for those who are feeling like the texter described, you know, if, and this is a hypothetical, I realize that hasn't happened or hasn't even had an opportunity to happen, but if Jalen Hurts had up and left the Philadelphia Eagles as a free agent, I think Johnny Gaudreau would be the first to tell you, as an Eagles fan, he was ticked off about it, right? And not that he'd make it a personal thing against Jalen Hurts or whatever, but like Johnny understood the sort of magic of being a sports fan. You know, if there's one thing, because I think, I'm trying to think of the best way to put this, I hope this makes sense, I think that Meredith Gaudreau was pulled into some of the people upset about it. I think some fingers got pointed at Meredith, and I hope if you listen to her talk about her husband today, I hope that changed your mind on that too.
This from Sam in Lethbridge. Very grateful to hear that Johnny's dad was able to make it to all of his games the last couple of years in Columbus. I was initially upset in 2022 when he left, but now looking at this tragedy, I couldn't be more happy he made that decision. God is in the details. Thanks for all the amazing years, Johnny. Go ahead.
Let me just share something. I chatted with some former teammates of both Johnny and Matthew, as I mentioned earlier, for something I wrote for Post Media, and I was chatting. This player's name is Barry Almeida, and he played at Boston College with Johnny, won a national championship with him when Johnny was a freshman, and then he ended up playing in the ECHL with Matthew, and I thought this was such a neat story. He was telling me about the spring of 2018 when the Flames missed the playoffs, and the Worcester I don't know, Railers. I can't even remember what the ECHL team was called. Anyway, they were in the playoffs, and he said, I look up in the crowd in Worcester, and Johnny's sitting there with his family. And the way he put it to me was, like, this is an NHL all-star. This guy, after the season, could have gone straight to the Bahamas. He could have gone straight anywhere in the world he wanted. And he was sitting there in Worcester to watch his younger brother play. Yeah. And I just thought, you know, this sort of jogged my memory when you were talking about how cool it is that Guy Gaudreau got to see every one of Johnny's home games for the last two seasons. You know, I thought that was pretty neat, too, to hear that after being eliminated and the end of year stuff in Calgary, he hightailed it to an ECHL playoff game. Yeah. I think just tells you a lot.
Curtis in Monterey says, guys, hope someone on the Flames grows their hair out like Johnny did a few seasons ago. That was such a great time. Today was tough. His wife telling everyone they recently found out about baby number three. That was a tearjerker, and both wives were so strong with their eulogies. Thanks, guys. Keep up the awesome job. Dustin in Calgary says, I think Johnny would have been disappointed to not be booed in Calgary. We booed because we cared. We loved him, and every boo that rang out echoes that. It came from a place of hurt, not malice. Exactly. This says, my sons and I love to watch Johnny play, and we're fortunate to meet him. He was a special person, not just a great player. My prayers for the Gaudreau family. I'm hoping the NHL does something with Mad that helps stop these tragedies from happening. And this says, it was nice to see a lot of the players, especially former Flames teammates, there to support the families. Zadorov, Lindholm, Geo, Stajan, Markstrom, along with the expected names such as Tkachuk. And yeah, definitely, you know, Craig Conroy was there, Michael Backlund, Rasmus Anderson.
Sam Bennett was there.
Yeah, the current former teammates, friends. You know, Kevin Hayes never played with Johnny in the NHL, but played with him in college.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought I saw Mason Raymond in the crowd. Seth Jones was there, Cole Caulfield, who recently changed his jersey number 13, to 13, yep. Patrick Laine, yeah. If a game of shinny broke out after that memorial today, would have been two pretty solid teams.
As we start to wrap up this hour on Flames Talk, thanks for your text at 960-960. It feels like, at least from this standpoint, I don't know if it's the same for you. I don't know if it's the same for you listening. It still feels like it's going to take a while until it feels real. And I think maybe it'll feel a little more real when the season starts and we're watching hockey and you'll see highlights of a Blue Jackets game and know that John's not playing in that game. And I think maybe it'll start to feel more real then, but in your head, at least for me, in my head, I know that this has happened, and from candlelight vigils to funerals to tributes to texts to the conversations you and I've been having since this happened, you know it's real, yet it still doesn't feel real, and mm-hmm. It might take a while for me anyway for it to feel real that this has actually happened. I know that it'll probably start feeling more that way as we move towards hockey starting to get played.
Yeah, the way I would describe it for me is that maybe it feels real now, but I just haven't even begun to wrap my head around this. And so I think in a lot of ways we're saying the same thing there. Like this, yeah. Man. Life is cruel sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Really beautiful service just outside of Philadelphia on Monday morning here in Calgary, Monday afternoon out east. And John and Matt Gaudreau laid to rest with their family and some of their closest friends. We continue. Here's the last thing I'll say as we start to wrap up this hour. With all of the support that we've seen with the hockey world and the sporting world and so many people who have been there to send their thoughts and send their support. You can be pretty sure they're resting easy right now. You can be pretty sure that John and Matt are wherever they are pretty heartened about how many people are there for the family that's left behind.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I'll just add one thing to those who didn't see Meredith's eulogy today. She went out of her way to, I suppose, reveal or say that that the two brothers didn't suffer. You know, the way she put it is it gives her some comfort to know that they, whatever silly conversation they were having, they probably just picked it up in heaven.
Yeah.
And in what is still such a heavy time, you know, that's something that I think was nice to hear as well.
For sure. Wes Gilbertson, Pat Steinberg along with you, wrapping up this hour on Flames Talk here on a Monday. And don't forget, you can always get Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts.